Thanks for joining us. Tonight, the shock turning to anger over the shooting on the set of Alec Baldwin's latest film and how the tragedy could have even happened, especially with the news today about one of the crew members, the assistant director, coming under intense scrutiny. ABC's Kaylee Hartung is in New Mexico tonight.
It's unbelievable that something like this could happen.
When I first heard it, I said, it can't be true. It just can't be true. I felt sick to my stomach.
There are so many unanswered questions about what happened on the set of the movie Rust.
We need an ambulance out at Bonanza Creek Ranch right now.
After a prop gun in the hands of famed actor Alec Baldwin discharged, killing the film's 42-year-old cinematographer Helena Hutchins and injuring its director.
That's two people shot on a movie set accidentally.
Eyewitnesses to the tragedy on the set of Rust, detailing the moments before and after the fatal shooting.
It is clear that someone was negligent in allowing this to happen.
Tonight we're learning that the assistant director, who witnesses say handed Baldwin the loaded gun, was fired for a similar incident on a different movie set back in 2019, when another prop gun unexpectedly discharged, injuring a crew member. And in the new documents obtained from the Santa Fe County Court tonight, evidence of live ammunition collected from the movie set.
Why there was live ammunition, we don't know. The fact that there was live ammunition and it got into this gun is the biggest question here.
This tragedy sending shockwaves through Hollywood and raising concerns about whether or not proper safety precautions were taken on set.
What has happened here is some very tragic, unthinkable errors. It's something that you never want to see ever happen on the set of a movie or a television show.
Yesterday, the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office released search warrants, including an interview with the film's director, Joel Souza, describing the moment the gun went off. Telling investigators, Alec was sitting in a pew in a church building setting, and he was practicing a cross draw, pointing the revolver towards the camera lens. Souza was behind that camera, looking over Hutchins' shoulder, when he says he heard what sounded like a whip, then loud pop. A projectile fired, striking Hutchins in the chest, then piercing Souza in the shoulder. Authorities have not yet confirmed what type of projectile killed Hutchins. A cameraman telling investigators there was no video or audio being recorded at that time.
The video and the audio certainly would have helped. The more difficult questions are going to be something that wouldn't have been on camera anyway, and that is, how did that live round end up in that weapon?
An affidavit saying that the firearm was one of three prop guns set up by the armorer, 24-year-old Hannah Gutierrez Reed. And that assistant director, Dave Halls, grabbed the gun off a cart outside the church, then handed it to Baldwin on set, yelling, "Cold gun," indicating to everyone there that the prop gun did not have any live rounds, which the AD told investigators he believed to be true.
Well, in my history, I never allow anybody, or my staff allows anybody, to touch a firearm and hand it to an actor. It's up to me. I'm the person that hands it to the actor. I'm the person that takes it away from the actor, not anybody else.
Gutierrez Reed was responsible for all weapons on set. Her father, Fel Reed, is also a well-known armorer, managing weapons for movies like Tombstone. Rust was only her second film as head armorer. Just 6 weeks ago, in the Voices of the West podcast, she described how nervous she was during her first gig as head armorer on another film earlier this year.
I kind of just caught on by myself. I think loading blanks was like the scariest thing to me because I was like, oh, I don't know anything about it.
A Rust actor telling ABC News, Gutierrez Reed was always very professional on set and took her job seriously. But a member of the Rust camera crew describes a troubled set, rife with concerns about gun safety, pay, and lodging. A cameraman telling ABC News just hours before the shooting, some members of the camera department walked off the set in protest.
This is a small, scrappy independent film with a budget of about $7 million. They felt unsafe because they didn't think that people had the right experience to be there, that they were being overworked and underpaid.
The film's production company telling ABC News in a statement they were not made aware of any official complaints concerning weapon or prop safety on set, and will be conducting an internal review of our procedures.
It's safe. There's nothing in it.
Charles Taylor has been an armorist in Hollywood for more than 30 years, working on blockbuster films like Suicide Squad.
This is Harley Quinn's.
He says the strict protocols regarding guns are there for a reason.
The first rule of thumb is a weapon should be considered always loaded. If you consider it a loaded gun all the time, you will respect it.
Whenever he's working with an actor who's handling a gun, Taylor says he goes through the following procedure.
I'll show the actor the empty gun first.
Every time a weapon is used.
I will show them the type of blank that we're going to use, and everybody understands what's about to happen. And then we have a rehearsal. We make sure that the actor has the action down pat, and everybody, and especially me, that I'm satisfied we can do this safely. Then I'll load the firearm. I wait for the AD to say, we're ready, we're rolling. And at that moment, I will turn and I will hand it to the actor safely.
The Rush tragedy prompting some to call for change.
Right now, there is a big call for firearms to be banned on movie and TV sets. There is absolutely no reason for a firearm to be on the set of a movie or a TV show because, unfortunately, there could be human error and death.
It's been nearly 30 years since a similar accident killed actor Brandon Lee, son of famed martial artist Bruce Lee, while he was filming The Crow.
A fellow actor pulled the trigger on a gun supposedly loaded only with blanks. Today, doctors found a .44 caliber bullet in Lee's body.
The 28-year-old was fatally shot in the stomach with a prop gun. Brandon's sister Shannon telling ABC News the Rust accident is maddening.
I think in this day and age, there's no reason to have a gun that can fire a projectile on a set. There's technology, there's special effects, there's all sorts of things that can cover for that.
The question now, who will be held liable for what happened on the set of Rust?
I think it's very unlikely that Alec Baldwin, the actor, will be charged for pulling the trigger. Alec Baldwin, the producer, is a separate question. There are going to be serious questions, including possible criminal questions, about how that live round ended up on the set.
Baldwin's production company, El Dorado Pictures, is producing the film. Baldwin taking to Twitter the day after the shooting, writing, "There are no words to convey my shock and sadness regarding the tragic accident that took the life of Helena Hutchins, a wife, mother, and deeply admired colleague of ours. My heart is broken for her husband, their son, and all who knew and loved Helena." Heralded as a rising star behind the camera, her last Instagram post showed her excitement for being a part of this production.
She was the kind of filmmaker who would stand in any uncomfortable place with her camera to get a shot that she thought would be the right shot, and you could not move her to compromise.
Over the weekend, vigils in New Mexico and California, remembering her life and work.
I would have been lucky to have ever done another movie with another person like that, or with her. And I don't get to. It sucks.
Her legacy now living on in family and friends she left behind, and the renewed calls for safety on movie sets.
Our thanks to Kaylee. Up next, some of social media's biggest influencers revealing how the constant pressure to generate never-ending content is influencing their mental health.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Let's face it, it's something we all feel, burnout from never being able to fully unplug. But imagine if social media was your job. Here's Nightline's Ashin Singh.
Brooklyn Webb isn't your typical teen.
What's like a trending dance right now?
If you open up TikTok,
you're likely to see her on the For You page, racking up hundreds of thousands, even millions of views.
What is it about TikTok that you liked?
I think what everyone liked, including myself, was just the random possibility of a video or yourself blowing up just out of complete nowhere, literally overnight. You could go from 10 views to 10 million views.
With 9.8 million followers, Brooklyn is known for her cosplaying, lip syncing, and videos on body positivity.
I'm not bloated. I literally just have a stomach, and that's A-okay.
I was posting like 5 to 7 times a day. I started to see a little bit of success kind of creep up.
Pulling back the curtain, beyond the princess costumes and carefree dance moves, you'll find a much darker reality.
It definitely felt like I was literally just spending time on TikTok, like I wasn't doing anything else. Either I was getting ready and filming videos, eating, or I was scrolling through TikTok looking for more ideas for the next day. But it was just complete burnout.
Young content creators who are pursuing lucrative social media careers are now finding it difficult to keep up with the ever-changing nature of these platforms, where you can be trending one day and lose relevance the very next.
When the currency of the social media platform is attention, it puts a lot of pressure on the content creators to constantly be posting new material so that they can generate that attention, more followers, more likes. Where's the ceiling? When is it enough followers? When is it enough engagement? Given the fact that there's always the possibility to generate more popularity, it's potentially infinite.
From up-and-comers to more seasoned creators, no one is immune.
For creators that are struggling with this idea of like, oh, I gotta post something else this week, I gotta post something else today, every single day, every hour, that's exhausting. Of course you'll have burnout.
We're in such a world of instant gratification like no other, and it's such an endless toxic cycle.
Tell me about that sort of mentality, that need to sort of feed the engagement and feed your followers.
It definitely was an addicting feeling. I had to keep going and going because I didn't want to take a break, because then just one day off, that's a day of engagement gone.
So the mental health definitely does take a backseat for you.
Yeah.
The constant grind of churning out post after post can leave these creators feeling anxious, exhausted, and burnt out.
I think I have at some points where days that I just like laid in bed all the time, I straight deleted the app, turned off my phone, and said good night.
That exhaustion, symptomatic of a pandemic-induced anxiety that's sweeping the country. A recent survey has shown that younger generations are most affected by burnout, with 59% of millennials and 58% of Gen Zers saying they've experienced burnout this year.
The vulnerability is going to be particularly for younger content creators. They don't have that separation between offline and online selves. And if your digital device is your primary source of income, that's not work-life balance if you're trying to enjoy a meal or go for a walk with your dog, and all of a sudden now you're thinking about content that you can create for your platform.
The number one reason for my burnout was not having any security long-term. You know, there are times where I think, oh my God, what am I gonna be doing in 5 or 10 years?
But today, I wanted to bring you along with me.
In 2011, Alicia Marie dropped out of college to pursue YouTube full-time, a career that's led her to just over 8 million subscribers and more than 195 million views on her main channel alone. Most famous for her back-to-school fashion videos, the former film major took on every aspect of production, all by herself, for 10 years.
Uploading twice a week, filming, editing, brainstorming every single day. There were multiple sleepless nights. Definitely a lot of all-nighters. It was just this crazy cycle, and I was exhausted, but I loved it.
That feat, feeding her fatigue.
Me. I started resenting it, but I was literally at lunch with my sister and I text my manager, I think I need to take a break. Then I start shaking, then I start crying, have a full-on panic attack. And I was thinking, if this is how I'm reacting to just simply saying, I think I need to take a break, it's bad and it's real. Yeah. Ah, oh my God, I feel weird. Literally feel so weird right now. I need to take a break from this channel.
In 2018, Alicia Marie decided to hit pause.
Up until this point, I honestly had never seen a creator actually take a break successfully. A whole bunch of creators had taken a break, but to be very blunt, everyone saw them as now irrelevant.
Oh man, like I'm not proud of what I'm uploading on this channel.
The lesson learned from her 2-month-long break, not being afraid to ask for help. Alicia later hiring an editor and an assistant to help with the day-to-day production process.
My biggest advice to people is honestly,
being in tune with who you are and having a good support system around you, because it is very tricky and it is a business and it's naive to ignore that. I think I've learned that a little more about quality over quantity.
There's no break. Yeah, there's no break.
For creators like illusionist Zach King, whose popularity has spanned multiple platforms over the years, from YouTube to Instagram, the now defunct Vine to TikTok. Sometimes taking a step back is the best way to move forward.
It's really setting boundaries. Maybe your phone's off after 5 p.m. Maybe you're not on it. I think there's a lot of benefits of having your audience right there at the fingertips, but also it can be pretty destructive if that's what you're always thinking about creating for. In real life, we look normal.
Zach's key to having a sustainable social media career? Putting creativity above the clout.
When we go in our production meeting, for me, mentally, I'm like, if this week we're not creating something that is interesting, like, why are we spending time doing that? Mm-hmm. Why are we all taking the time to commute here and build these sets just to, you know, feed the beast?
What's the advice for young creators who are feeling that burnout?
I would re-question why you're doing it. I think if you're in it to chase numbers or followers, you're gonna get tired.
The past 2 years, I've really been trying to cater to my audience instead of growing my audience. If I focus on the little family that I've built and people notice and wanna come in, then amazing.
But for Brooklyn, who's fairly new to her digital fame, being numb to the numbers is easier said than done.
Yeah, I wish that views weren't everything, and they're not everything as much anymore to me, but at the same time, it's my job. I should be working and striving to continue growing a platform.
Do you think about the end of this?
I mean, a little bit. I mean, right now it's still alive and thriving, and I still have every opportunity to make it into anything I want. But at the same time, it's always in the back of my mind, like, okay, when should I start looking towards other things?
Very often, giving is better than receiving.
Hey, Akeem, what you working on, man?
For all the kids on the floor.
Gift bags for all the kids on the floor?
Yeah.
7-year-old Akeem had just finished his fourth round of chemo for a rare bone cancer when he came up with the idea of doing something selfless.
Teddy bears and stuffed animals? Nice.
His dad, Rayshawn, recorded this video of Akeem filling up gift bags for the other children on the cancer floor.
This is very nice, Akeem. You're gonna make all these kids so happy tonight.
What an angel. That's Nightline. You can watch all of our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here same time tomorrow. Thanks for staying up with us. Good night, America.